You're listening to Work in Progress. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, Editor-in-Chief of Working Nation. Work in Progress explores the rapidly changing workplace through conversations with innovators, educators, and decision-makers, people with solutions to today's workforce challenges.
Is America in the midst of a labor shortage? Some employers would give you an emphatic yes to that question. So how bad is it? And what can all employers do to find and retain the talent that is so critical to their success? Joining me to answer these questions and discuss the crucial role older workers can play in filling in-demand roles across the economy is Catherine Collinson, CEO and president of the nonprofit research foundation, Transamerica Institute. Catherine, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
We've talked many times. I'm happy I'm finally getting you on the podcast so we can talk for everyone to hear us.
And I am super happy about that too. I've really been looking forward to this.
Well, let's jump right in. Transamerica Institute has a new report out, Workplace Transformations, Employer Business Practices and Benefit Offerings. At the heart of it is how employers can enhance their edge in the competition for that human talent. I really thought some of the findings were just very, very interesting. And you also have some suggestions. So let's just start with some of the findings. Let's get this one out of the way. AI, robotics. Everybody keeps talking about it. Every employer I talk to and employee I talk to talks about it. So tell me what you found about the use of AI in the workplace today.
We found that AI and robotics is widely used. In fact, I would call it ubiquitous almost among employers today, especially larger employers. In fact, 9 in 10 large companies that we surveyed say they're currently using it, plan to use it, or expand their use of it in the future, which tells me it's not a passing fad. It's here to stay. And then, of course, that ignites all the sort of fear and paranoia in so many of us. Well, what about humans? What about people? And our survey finds good news. People are here to stay, too. In fact, employers are feeling the crunch of the labor shortage, and many are citing attracting and retaining talent as a top priority. So there's good news in there. It's just our world is changing.
You know, and our world is changing, but you said something that's really interesting. People are using it. Employers are using it. And I try to make this point a lot. It's not brand new. Maybe there are changes on the way it's being used. And also, maybe it's more prevalent, or at least employers want to use it more.
Yes. And I think you make a really good point, because what It seems to me what really ignited, made this whole thing viral was generative AI. And to your point, AI has been around for a really long time. People are just now really talking about it and chiming in saying, well, actually, we have been using AI and your favorite online shopping platform has been using it a long time. How do you think they know what you want to buy?
So, that's a great point.
But still, things are changing.
Absolutely. Great point there too, because I also think about Google search. It's answering, the most common questions. So it's searching its own database.
Indeed it is.
So let's talk about a little bit more in depth here is the employers are saying, and I think the number was 37%, that this labor shortage is impacting them. Do they share with you in what way?
The way we posed the question was, is it positively, negatively, or no impact? What we heard from them, 37% of employers said it was negatively impacting them. If we look at larger employers, the number is much higher. It goes to 6 and even 7 in 10. Depending on the employer, they're feeling the pain, and it's bearing out an ability to attract and retain talent. And they're looking to grow their businesses. Something I can put in perspective for you is when we asked about labor crunch or labor shortages and how they were impacting their business, we also asked about other major trends. So robotics and artificial intelligence. By and large, they feel that it's positively impacting their business. Other trends as well, things that you might not think of, especially with headlines, many employers are saying things like ESG and diversity, equity, and inclusion are positively impacting their businesses as well. One thing I learned from this is employers are generally optimistic. So if they are saying something is negatively impacting them, like labor shortages, it's negatively impacting their ability to conduct business.
I also note that this idea of, to go back to recruiting and retaining, is a really top priority for these businesses. And do you have some ideas, suggestions on what can be done to make sure they're getting that talent that they need?
Of course, a competitive paycheck is all important. But as we've learned in the last few years, especially through and after the pandemic, workers are placing a very high value on things like flexible work arrangements, work-life balance, and workers have always valued employee benefits, but they value them even more. So in their totality, having a strong offering for prospective employees or retaining current employees is more important than ever before.
And kind of brings up to my mind now, our workforce is working longer. It's getting older. People are working longer. Sometimes they need to work longer. Sometimes they just like to work longer, right? They want to stay in the workforce longer. So how can an employer tap into that 50 plus job seeker and worker?
That is the big question, because our survey found almost 9 in 10 employers feel that they are age friendly and provide opportunities and resources and training for workers of all ages to be successful. But when we looked a little bit further, we found not so much, especially as it relates to attracting and retaining talent. Very few said they gave a great deal of consideration to age 50 plus job applicants. And even some of the things that we saw in terms of professional development opportunities, which, by the way, they could be doing a lot more for workers of all ages, they just seem to be not yet tuned in to that opportunity. And if you don't mind my getting on my soapbox, you know, employers on one hand are contending with labor crunches, and yet they're missing out on this talent pool that has expertise, experience, wisdom, that wants to work. Why are they not paying closer attention? And that's a rhetorical question, but it also leads to, as you and I have talked about this, we've got to retire ageism. Ageism should be something in the past, not in the present. It's time to get over it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've seen some other surveys. There's one by Generation USA that was out, I think it was last year, Mona Merced and I were talking about it. And the employers who tap into that older workforce, they are really pleased with the results, especially for those that are already there and have that institutional knowledge. And they see the benefit of it. I still don't understand what it is that makes somebody think just because you are 50 plus, that you can't figure out technology. We weren't all born with a cell phone in our hand or a laptop. We've all learned it as we go. And the older worker has also expressed willingness to learn.
And that is a really strange one, because where we're at in the workforce today, Generation X grew up with personal computers. They did not grow up in a technology vacuum. PCs were coming online in Macs as Gen X was going to school and entering the workforce. The idea that older individuals may not be tech savvy makes no sense.
At Transamerica Institute, you look at the benefits, and part of this survey looks at benefits. And I often wonder if it has something to do with, if you're in a job longer, you have more experience, it's going to cost a company, supposedly, more money to keep you on.
Well, yes and no. I'll answer your question with a question. If a company loses a highly skilled, talented, long-tenured employee with institutional knowledge, how much does it cost to replace them?
It's a good question. And I've seen numbers. It could cost $12,000 for the company to lose a frontline grocery store clerk and then have to advertise, recruit, hire, train. Mm-hmm. It can be costly. So I answer your question with this idea that it's not. Look inside. Help grow this, you know, this workforce that you already have, no matter what age it is.
Absolutely. In fact, my belief is employers may have a wealth of knowledge and expertise that they haven't tapped into simply because they haven't asked or they haven't engaged.
And you brought up before, too, the alternative work arrangements. People maybe want a little more flexibility. That doesn't mean they're not going to work hard. It may just mean you could be any age and want to work part-time, or you could be any age and have a family that you would like to spend a little bit more time with. So that's one of the suggestions, one way that an employer can enhance some of their offering, this flexibility.
Yes, it is. And as we look at having four, and some even argue five, generations in the workforce right now, and people in different life phases, flexibility is important for people of all ages. It could be younger professionals who are looking to start a family. It could be people who they have caregiving responsibilities and they may need to adjust their schedules for that. It could be people who want to go back to school and upgrade their skills. And it could be people looking to transition into retirement. Maybe they want more free time for friends, family, travel, grandchildren, but they still want to keep working. And so flexibility really applies to people of all ages.
And that flexibility can be extended to the idea of more flexible retirement options.
Yes, it could. And I often like to point out flexible retirement is actually an employee retention tool. And the old school notion that work and retirement are mutually exclusive, that somebody works full-time one day and never again, is not the reality that workers are looking for. Most workers want to transition on their own terms. It could be switching full-time to part-time, working seasonally, but gradually transitioning into retirement. And if an employer makes retirement an all or nothing proposition, you're either working or you're not, they may lose employees who would otherwise stick around, who decide they're going to take their transition somewhere else that will support them.
And there's some options for employers. Maybe you talked about larger employers who might be having this trouble getting and retaining talent, but smaller ones also. And there are some options on retirement benefits that might help attract that talent.
Yes, there are, on a whole number of levels. So we're talking about flexible retirement or phased retirement, which can be extremely helpful. And then there's also opportunities through retirement benefits. And it's the single most proven way to help people save and prepare for retirement are employer-sponsored retirement benefits. And the most popular these days is the 401k plan. And 401ks have provisions that can help people through their life phases. And what's really exciting to me is in late 2022, there was new legislation, the Secure 2.0 Act of 2022, which has a myriad of provisions for employers to adopt as part of their plans, or even tax incentives if they don't yet offer a plan, that can help their employees of all ages not only save for retirement, but help the employer attract and retain talent. So win-win-win.
So another priority is the idea of DEI, and that's a priority to employers. Tell me why.
Employers are looking to grow their businesses. Employers have an obligation to their stakeholders to be successful. And many, many employers now recognize that diversity, equity, and inclusion is not only good for business, it's good for their stakeholders, it's good for their employees and their prospective employees. And it is rapidly becoming table stakes to successfully participate in our economy. And we shouldn't be dissuaded by headlines, which may suggest otherwise. Our survey finds that employers place a tremendous value on diversity, equity, and inclusion. They are prioritizing it among their workforce management priorities, and they see it as positively impacting their business.
And when you talk about DEI, age is an important part of that as well.
Yes. And we do explore that. And it does seem that age is one of the last dimensions of diversity, equity, and inclusion. It has not fully entered the conversation and the priorities the way that other demographics have. And it should. And I'm an optimist. I predict it will.
So the way we're working is changing. There's a need to reprioritize how we approach getting a talented workforce. Who's leading the way on that?
Often, as it relates to workforce management, it's larger organizations. Larger organizations, in many ways, have greater resources, access to consulting firms and benefits consultants, and large employers typically paved the way in terms of innovative and robust benefit offerings, and even infrastructure to support them. So if it's something like flexible work arrangements, they're going to have more infrastructure to support that. And then with their employee benefits, be it health and welfare, workplace wellness, financial wellness, retirement benefits, by and large, they're more likely to offer them, and they're more likely to be more robust and more sophisticated. So for job seekers and for small employers, often this will have a trickle-down effect. I've been studying this for a couple of decades now, but I think at this moment in time, it's particularly important for small businesses to pay attention to this. It can help them attract and retain talent and compete. Also, there has been so much innovation in the marketplace. Things that they thought may have been unattainable or too expensive or too difficult in the past have become much more doable now. And specifically with retirement benefits, there are some really compelling tax incentives and tax credits, and it is now easier and more affordable than ever to offer retirement benefits to your employees.
And to that point, job seekers shouldn't just seek out those big employers, though, that they can seek out these small employers who might be replicating some of that.
Absolutely. And then the biggest message for job seekers, if you're looking at a prospective employer that's a small, medium, or large size company, do your homework and pay very close attention to the benefits offering, because that is a very meaningful part of your compensation.
And in the time we have left, let's talk a little bit more about this ageism and an aging workforce. Do you have any advice for the employee or the job seeker? What should they do to be putting their best foot forward?
For job seekers, there's lots of things that you can do. And one is do your homework about prospective employers. And with your network, ask around. You can learn a lot about an employer or a prospective employer from the people who work there. You can also learn a lot about a prospective employer based on, assuming they have a website, the career section of its website. Are they showing people of all ages? Are you seeing diversity in the imagery? And then even take a look at the job descriptions to see what might work for you. The second thing you can do is, if you see, oh, this is the job that's for me, is do your best to find somebody within the company who can get your resume on the hiring manager's desk. Resume firewalls are sometimes impervious for workers of all ages. So this applies not only to older job seekers, but job seekers of all ages, is to get your resume in the hands of somebody who's going to actually see it to avoid the whole firewall impediment. And then another thing that is so important, and I think it's even more important for older workers because we are dealing with ageism, and have a really terrific LinkedIn profile. And that starts with an excellent headshot. Skip the selfie on the beach on the vacation. Most people don't do that, but we still see some these days. An excellent headshot, a well-written, concise summary of your skills and expertise and experience, and then a well-developed, but not too many words, because you don't want to overwhelm prospective employers, but say enough about yourself, your skills, experience, and background that they know who you are and what you're about. And this is going to be really helpful in a couple of ways. One, you're putting yourself out there. Two, LinkedIn has algorithms that's constantly helping employers find appropriate talent. So that could get you in that way. And it also helps demonstrate that you're technologically savvy. If you can set up a really terrific LinkedIn profile, you're already well towards winning the battle for older individuals who, for whatever unknown reason to this day, are still perceived to be less tech savvy.
That's all great advice, Catherine. So Catherine, thank you very much for sitting down with me. I appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Catherine Collinson, CEO and President of Transamerica Institute. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, Editor-in-Chief of Working Nation. Thank you for listening.